Hi, and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months, we've been busy collecting stories from right across Ireland about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students, and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions, and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danu, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to travel around the country to collect these stories. For this episode, I went to Carrigtool, East Cork, and I met with Anne Desmond in the Family Resource Centre. She is the mental health support worker, and we talked about how she's using restorative practices in her job, in the community, and the impact it has. On the same day, I also interviewed students from a local restorative primary school that you will hear about in upcoming episodes. And I'm mentioning that because at some stage in the interview, Anne is referring to the students I had met in the morning. So let's listen to what she had to say.
So my name is Anne Desmond. I am the mental health support worker for the Family Resource Centre in Carrigtool. And that breaks my job down into three strands. So I coordinate counselling. I hold people who are unwell from their mental health in the community and work as part of community mental health teams. And then I build resilience in the community, which would be caring for Carrigtool, which is a suicide awareness and prevention group, and also restorative practice Carrigtool. So I see that as building resilience within the community. So they're the three strands to my job. I sold jewellery for most of my life. And then when I had my little girl, I went part-time. And when I went part-time, I went back to college to do a diploma by night. And then I started to volunteer because I had time on my hands. And I started to volunteer with Lekela Youth Justice Project. So that's where I would have been introduced to the concept of restorative practice. Now, it would be more restorative justice at that particular time. But I suppose since then, which would have been 2011... I've always had a huge interest in restorative practice. Then when I actually went to do a degree in youth and community, and I would have continued on with Lekela as my two placements for youth and community. And then I came here in 2015 to the Family Resource Centre for a five-month block placement. So Rosemary Carey, who would be a probation officer in Cork, was always the one who was completely on board with this initiative and saw the benefit of it for young people, for families, for communities. And Rosemary would have a huge passion for Carrigtool. So she was the one who was the driving force for this in Carrigtool, and she's always made funding available and opportunities available. Then it became more community based as opposed to just the justice side of it. So since 2011, that's where it's been growing, and that's where it's been in my practice.
Anne has been introduced to restorative justice with Lekela. It's an organisation offering support to young people in trouble with the law, including mentoring and restorative justice conferencing. Young people can also have access to restorative justice options through the diversion programme run by the Garda, and she'll mention it later on in the interview. So let's go back to how she's using restorative practices in her work.
I suppose for myself, it's mostly informally. I use it informally all day, every day. I think it's in every fibre of your existence, really, you know. Yes, you can be taught it, or you can be shown the principles and the practice of it, or the framework of it, and that's very, very important. But I think a lot of us are restorative by nature. So if you can actually name that and show people what they're doing, particularly professionals like teachers, you know, caring professions, if you can put that framework on it, then it just gives you something more to touch base with. So for me, I use it informally, but I think it underpins an awful lot of my practice. because when I meet with somebody and they have mental health issues, sometimes it's very hard to figure out if they're in a very distressed place. The what happened of restorative practice is so invaluable. And then you can start pulling the thread for them and seeing where they are or seeing how you can actually help them. And I see restorative practice as a huge part of my job with regard to dual diagnosis, because if somebody presents with alcohol or drug addiction, services won't help them. And then it's the chicken or an egg. Did the addiction or the substance abuse cause the mental illness, or did the mental illness cause the... So I think the what happened is vital there. And I think if you can start with the what happened in any situation, you can actually look at the person in the centre of it and give them a hand to get to where they need to be. So I use restorative practice with regard to mental health. I think preventing and preventative measures within the community, which is what we try to do through restorative practice Carrick Tool, is build the awareness and roll out trainings and try to embed it in the community. But I think that's very important, preventative work. Because if you can teach people the tools, or if you can be restorative in your practice, it reduces conflict. And even when conflict arises, then it can be managed in a very healthy manner. So I think restorative practice makes my work much better. I think it's a great way to underpin my work and everything that I do. And then in the community, I think it makes the community much healthier and safer place to live.
She explained a bit more how restorative practices are making our community safer.
Well, I suppose if there's conflict, or if, like with regard to the justice programme now, the juvenile, the diversion projects, you're diverting away from crime. And it's the what happened is so important. Now, if you're to the attention of the justice system, there's something particularly serious after happening. So I see the preventative side of this, you know. And if you can negotiate with people in a healthy manner and not leave it escalate, not leave emotion. I find that if people get too emotional too fast, the what happens gets lost. It's all the stuff that's thrown, it's all the petrol that's thrown on that bonfire in the course of that, so nobody can figure out where it started. They only know why they're all fighting the end of it, do you know? So that's where I do think it makes it safer and healthier. And I do think that if we can, I think it's really the young people that are taking this on board. And you can see the boys from this morning now, like they're 8 years at restorative practice. And we quite haven't gotten to the parents yet. But if these young men can see how they want to be treated and what fairness is, and respect and tolerance and accountability, which is huge, and they can take this into secondary school, I mean, what are we growing, do you know? And that's how you make the community safer, because these young men are going to go out into, and it just happens to be the boys that you had this morning, but like they go out into the community, there's a lot of resources here, but there's not enough. And if they have that grounding or this philosophy embedded in their nature, then they can see the fine line, they can see the empathy in a situation, they can see the right and the wrong. It doesn't mean that they're always going to make the right choices, but it kind of gives them a fair bank of knowledge and emotional intelligence to make the right decisions for themselves. And the other side of that is that when somebody has done something out of the way, wrong, whatever you want to call it, there's a shame that goes with that, and people tend to be othered, and they're removed then in a way from their community. And if we don't have good connections, then we don't have good mental health, and then we don't have a safe community. So it's very complex and very multifaceted, but I think at a baseline level, restorative practice will keep your community extremely safe.
She went on talking about the impact restorative practices had on her personally.
I think it gives me a sense of where I would use other theories as well to underpin my practice, because you have to. I think it brings in a fairness that you've dealt with the situation in a very fair way, that the person that has come in front of you, that there was, it kind of reinforces the non-judgmental, because we all say that we're non-judgmental, but are we really? And when somebody presents in a situation that you mightn't necessarily agree with or wouldn't be aligned to your own values, I think if you take it from a restorative point of view, then it levels back out the playing field, because the job that I do, I have to reflect in action. So that's when I'm with somebody, or on action, you know, which is where if I've been in a situation, I come out and I reflect on it, I can see, was I restorative in that? Could I have done it a bit better? How could I improve my own performance going forward, you know? Yeah, I think that's where the restorative really is very important in my practice. It's just that level playing field again, you know, in every single situation. I suppose I just see the value of restorative practice, and I think I'd love more people to come on board with it. And it's beautiful to be part of a movement, a really positive movement that the people that are involved in it really believe in, and they're passionate about it, and they're driving it on. And I do think that restorative practice, it has become huge, and I've seen over the last number of years how big it has become. But I'd still love it to be on a more ground level, or, you know, used more in communities, you know, like for mediation with parents, or mediation of community groups and things like that, because we just don't have that here yet. We have been trained, but it just hasn't presented itself yet. But I definitely think, I do genuinely believe that it has a very positive impact on people's mental health, and I do genuinely believe that it can make our communities and our whole world much safer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.